TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
What is up, everyone? It's your good friend Patrick O'Dowd, joined by PC Tunney and Ray Cash this week, welcoming you into another edition of the Four Corners Podcast. Four Corners Podcast is, of course, a part of the ChairShot Radio Network on TheChairShot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And we are dropping on a Sunday today. It's a reaction show because, of course, we couldn't let the college football playoff pairings go by 2 days before you hear from the Chair Shot team about it. Never mind that David Ungar chose to go to Disneyland. And I'm getting crotchety old man texts from Dave about the state of Disneyland over the holidays. All right, we got to talk about this next week. I'm so mad about what. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm not at Disney.
I'm booing Dave right now. Dave's being booed.
Yeah, that's fair. We have sound effects this week. Ray and Patrick cannot hear the sound effects this week. But yes, we are, of course, today going to talk about the college football playoff rankings. We are recording here at just about 1 o'clock Eastern time. So these playoff rankings are about 30 minutes old. Before we get into that, though, fellas, I do feel it is imperative that, you know, in about 3 minutes, a consequential NFL game is happening for our beloved friend Ray Cash. As the Fighting Tomlins are taking on the Fighting Harbaughs, second longest coaching rivalry in the NFL. I learned that today over Hallis and Lambeau.
And there's a good chance both of them might be gone at the end of the year.
This could be it. A lot of fire Tomlin, fire Harbaugh conversations. But the Ravens got off to that horrible, horrible start.
Yeah.
Then recovered a little bit, had a nice little streak going, and then just a disaster on Thanksgiving. Five turnovers, just a horrific result that kind of stalled out your momentum. And then there is the definition of professional football mediocrity that is Mike Tomlin and his 1-2 game over 500 seasons. You know, good enough to make the playoffs a lot of times, not quite good enough to go further than the first round. How are you feeling going into this game? What do you want to see out of your Ravens?
I feel really good because for those of you who aren't a fan of either team, in recent years, Baltimore has dominated Pittsburgh.
Right.
So I feel very comfortable. I also feel you are within all of your rights, both of you, to say that this is the homer in me speaking. But if you're looking at our team, Baltimore doesn't lose games. They beat themselves. Very rarely do you see the Ravens get beat down by a team that just dropped. Like, Kansas City beat us down. There was no sense of, oh, we made turnovers or we dropped. No, they beat us down. That doesn't happen very often. So if Baltimore does things even just mediocrely correct, most times they're in the game where they win. Anybody who's ever had the ability or the luxury to have a great, like transcendently great player on your team in any sport understands that there is some positives and some negatives that come with that. Unfortunately, like LeBron James is, you're going to get all the great, but the negative is he's going to dominate the ball. He's going to slow down the offense. There are certain negatives you just deal with because of the greatness. Lamar Jackson is a guy that plays so comfortably reckless that when he's not 100%, the recklessness shows itself in the fumbles, in the interceptions. He is hurt. Don't let anybody else tell you otherwise. There is an injury there that nobody wants to acknowledge the depth of how bad it is because he doesn't play like this. Lamar will fumble because he does when he likes to move around and extend plays and he holds the ball out with his hand kind of like Mike Vick used to do. You can't do that. You got to carry the thing like a running back, but that's not who he is. So fumbles happen. But the off passes and the interceptions and the tentativeness of decision making is not something he's ever done, not even going back to Louisville. So the boy's hurt. I would like for them to be comfortable in saying, we are going to run the ball 35 times today. Lamar, take your shots when you want them. We're going to run the ball. And you know what? If we got to run on third down and the score and the game is 13-10, that's what we got to do. So that's what I want to see for the team today.
All right. Well, I hope you will not be too distracted while we talk about the college football playoff in a few minutes here, because I understand the ADHD that comes with Sunday afternoon podcast during NFL season. Tutty, you and I, we have our first of two dates of with Destiny. We have the Fox game of the week going on. My beloved Chicago Bears versus your Green Bay Packers at Lambeau. Feels like 9 degrees out there right now. The weather is going to be cold. It's an old school NFC game taking place here on the frozen tundra. I joked yesterday, we need to resurrect the dead guy who used to do the voice for NFL films so that he could talk about the frozen tundra. And we could, you know, just enjoy that moment as it is. Here's all I'm going to say about this game. I just want the Bears to look like they belong, and I want them to give me a reason to believe when the game takes place in Chicago that they have a reasonable shot to win. I want this to show that the Bears, for those who continue to say that the Bears are fluky, like this is a prove it game for the Bears. Every week's a prove it game for the Bears here on out. Like any game they win is going to be a big deal because they have a gauntlet of a schedule. We talked about this last week, but I need to see the Bears be able to run the ball like they did last week, and I need them to show that they can compete. I don't think they're going to win today. Like, I'll just say this straight out. I don't think they're going to beat Green Bay and Lambeau. I want them to win. I will rub it in Tunney's face if they do win, but I don't think it's going to happen. I just don't. I don't think the Bears are there yet. I love it. I love that they're playing better football, but I want them to show that when this game shifts to Chicago, they can beat Green Bay and Chicago in a game that matters. And that's the other thing. I'm just happy that the Chicago Bears are in a game in December that matters, that actually matters. Like, you can make that face all you want over there. And when we switch this show over to live streaming and get this on the YouTubes or whatever,
very soon.
I will live with that. But, you know, Lionel Richie and I agree. Like, it's we're just happy that this game matters in Chicago. That people can walk down Michigan Avenue and be like, this game means something. We're not just happy to be here.
Pat,
so that's
called
that's
to say he's happy.
That's Stevie Wonder.
Oh, yeah, that's right. My bad. That's really bad.
Hello.
There, yeah.
Is it me you're looking for?
Is it Caleb you're looking for?
I got to say.
I am looking for Caleb.
Any intelligent football fan will tell you that the Bears are a good football team, right? They may not have they may have a very middle-of-the-road team overall on defense, but they take the football away, so that makes them above average on defense. They have a running game. They have a good offensive line. They do have a younger quarterback. They do have a new head coach. Any metric you look at with the Packers playing in December under Matt LaFleur is going to have them favored at home, and, you know, favored at home by plenty. I'm surprised they're, what, 6.5-point favorites today?
6.5, yeah.
You know, the Bears are going to travel because they can run the football. Are they going to run the football for 250 yards, 130, 120 apiece every week? No. Could they do it this week? Maybe. Is this going to be a fun game to watch? Yes. Am I a Packer fan? 100%. Do I expect the Packers to win today? If they made me bet on the game and no spread at all, I would have to pick the Packers to win this game as an NFL fan who's been basically keeping track of point spreads for the last 25 plus years or more, 30 plus years, maybe even more. So I don't gamble anymore. I did really good picking last year. I have been pretty inconsistent picking this year, probably about 500, maybe a little under. Haven't picked as much. But this is going to be a good football game. I don't see any other way it is. And the winner is going to be the team that wins the turnover battle. And if the turnover battle's even, likely the Packers should win this football game. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a good fun end of the season. Both these teams are going to be in the playoffs, I think. I really do.
Yeah, I will say there's a reason there are only two topics to talk about at length when we record Bandwagon Nerds later today, because I want to make sure that we both have plenty of time to get to our 4:30 kickoff and watch that game, because I don't have another screen around to do it. So that's all we're going to talk about in regards to the NFL today. It was, honest to God, if college football playoff wasn't dropping today, we would have talked about yesterday in college basketball, because there were multiple great matchups, and Purdue losing by a bunch, like worst loss at Mackey Arena in history to Iowa State. Like, they dissected the Boilermakers. It was impressive. But there were a lot of really great games, high caliber games. Yes, Ray, what you got there?
You know what that means, right?
No, what's that?
You know it's about to be the number one team in the
Arizona, because they won yesterday. Yeah,
let's go, so, baby.
It's cool. You're in a half-ass conference. It doesn't really matter, but it'll be.
Hey,
fun,
it's not my. Hey, you play the schedule gives you, my boy.
But your Wildcats, they beat UConn. Like, they have won some. They had the most impressive like non-conference schedule. Like, I'm gonna poo-poo it a little bit, but I'm not gonna go nuts on fair. It.
Illinois and Arizona got beef. We understand.
I don't really have beef. We won our game.
Illinois got beef with the
in 05.
Ray, are you officially picking Christian McCaffrey first next year?
No, you know who I pick every damn what I want.
Wait, we're not talking about fantasy football.
Daniel.
And on that note, it is time to take our first commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the college football playoff and who has a right to be mad, who doesn't really have a right to be mad, all of that and more when we come back. You are listening to the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back into the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Head over to ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot for all of your chair shot swag needs. Patrick O'Dowd, PC Tunney, Ray Cash. It takes two men to fill in for a missing David Ungar. I'm just, you know, we're not going to need to talk about UFOs during the Four Corners Podcast. I'm sorry, we don't call them UFOs.
UAPs.
UAPs.
Yeah. Don't forget, I'm very heavily involved in that show as well.
I know you are.
What show are you not heavily involved in?
Mindless.
Well, I hear it's a good show.
But you post it.
I do.
I will say.
None of them.
Tony just sort of showed up to Four Corners. I don't, like, last week, he's like, I'll jump on.
Well, last week.
And then suddenly, and then you showed up. And
you're happy about it. Okay, fine. You know what? Ray, I'm going to let him be a villain on air. Patrick and I basically have been texting for the last 24 hours.
No ideas. I don't know what you're talking about, man. I don't know. No idea.
Ray, when I told him
texting, talking about.
When I told him you were probably going to make it for Four Corners, he definitely did not say sweet. He definitely didn't say sweet.
I didn't. You know. I said sour.
He actually said C.
Sad face.
And then he said sweet.
Terrible. So I did seat actually SEET.
Oh,
I do believe it's what it was. Just like I apparently typoed. Oh my god!
So
Mary can't have a typo. By the way,
so excited.
And then disappointment happened. We're gonna keep going with that.
Tune in tomorrow.
Yes. So let us back up. So college football playoff bracket was revealed today. We will of course talk about the whole Miami Notre Dame controversy, and personally just how it should never have been a controversy in the first place, and my fascination with ESPN trying to talk itself around in circles to make it all make sense, and that Joey Galloway, of all people, made the most sense on their fucking... I hate Booger McFarland on principle, and he was particularly bad on this playoff show today. But we're heading into championship weekend. There are a couple of matchups that are really sort of the questions that sort of could have caused chaos within these games. One was the potential of what would happen if Alabama loses in the SEC championship game. And that turned out to just not matter. At the end of the day, it did not matter. The committee basically decided you made your conference championship game, losing by 3 touchdowns doesn't matter. You're in. That's the lesson I learned here from the power of the SEC and Mr. Sankey, who I'm like the politicking that began there was a thing.
If they would have moved down to 10, Patrick, and still Notre Dame would have got left out or whatever, then I would have said it would have mattered because then I would have said that touchdown mattered.
Right.
But it didn't. It just didn't.
Yeah,
right.
Nothing mattered. That they rendered that game meaningless. You made it, but we don't count that game.
We started to have that conversation at 21-0 yesterday live, and then they scored a touchdown, and we kind of went, all right, as long as it's not 4 or 5 touchdowns now.
Right, and then I think Georgia scored one more in sort of put away, they field goal or something. Yeah.
Can I give an alternate thought about that? Because what you're saying is 100% right, but in watching today and paying attention the past couple of years, what I'm starting to see and understand pretty clearly this year is that the committee doesn't care about the conference championship game. The only thing only reason they care about it is to see who the conference champion is, because they got to have 5 conference champs.
I think you got to add this to the conversation real quick, Patrick. The fact that if punish Alabama for getting, you know, they finished ahead of all those other teams in the top 8, right? If you punish them for you destroy the conference championships is what you do. You basically destroy the conference championships. So really,
and
it's
still
like
lucrative.
Is it either like you get a cherry on the sundae or you don't? That's basically what it turns into now.
Well, here's the counter to that argument.
And Georgia benefits from a championship game, because if Georgia loses to Bama, neither of them probably are in the top 4.
And here's, again, a lot of that I agree with personally. The counter to that argument is that the conference has already messed up the conference championship games when they tripled the number of teams.
1,000%.
They talked about that.
Yeah, they talked about that on the College Football Playoff show too. Like, you got an 18-team conference. My biggest problem with Alabama, and I get it, because we keep seeing strength of schedule, this and that. And Alabama, I think they're the only 3-loss team in the playoff, right? Like, they're it. To lose to Florida State, a 5-7 team, the reason I think that Florida State becomes a win of value is because of the win they had at the very beginning of the season, where they just came out, and I can't remember. I'm trying to remember. It's eluding me. Florida State comes out. They win this huge game. Was it Georgia?
No, they beat Alabama. They beat?
Oh, they beat Alabama. Like,
oh, yeah, it was week one, wasn't it?
No, who did?
Florida State
who
beat
lost to
Alabama.
Florida State?
Yeah, Florida State beat Alabama week
one. Florida State beat Alabama week one. So they argued that this mollywhopping by a mediocre football team was a good loss. And I say mollywhopping, it wasn't like a obliterated bullet, but Florida State controlled that game. But the week one, it's strange to me, because I look at the rest of the teams in this field that aren't in the SEC, and if any of those teams have 3 losses and one of them is to a 5-7 Florida State team, you're not arguing for them to be in the playoff. But it's the SEC-ness of it all that makes that sound so good.
The bright team got left out. And I'm surprised.
I don't disagree with that. And that's we'll get to the Miami thing in a second. Miami was always the team that should have been ranked ahead of Notre Dame in the playoff rankings. This is a byproduct of the stupidity of the College Football Playoff show. And I understand why they have the College Football Playoff show, but when you have had Miami behind Notre Dame through all these rankings right up until last Tuesday. And then, as Joey Galloway, and is the voice of reason in my brain, Galloway made
today,
this point. It's like, what? These two teams sat on a couch, did nothing, and suddenly they're better. Like, we just flipped them. And if you want to say the head-to-head mattered, which it should, then make it matter by never have putting Notre Dame in front of it. But here's what happened, and this is the difference, and this is the other problem with the way these systems work. Notre Dame lost its first two games of the season, ran the table, won out, and they do this thing. It's the human nature of rankings. When we do rankings, we don't look at a body of work. We don't look at the quality of opponent that they played. All they did, my head itches, that's all.
Goes from the front of your brain to the back.
Right. Notre Dame didn't really beat anybody. I think their best win
here
after those two losses.
I wanted to do this real quick while we're talking about it, and you're hitting the point right now. Okay. They lost at Miami by 3. They lost at home to Texas A&M by 1, 41-40. But who did they beat? Purdue, Arkansas, Boise State, NC State, USC at home, Boston College, Navy at Pitt, Syracuse, Stanford, right?
That's the inverse argument for Alabama.
Take away the Notre Dame. No, but they have a better – Alabama beat Georgia.
I said the inverse argument.
Right.
Right, and so the problem here is the only reason Notre Dame is where they are is because they almost beat a couple of good teams.
They almost beat a couple of good teams.
Yeah. Yes.
So I will say this. Beating USC, while not a stellar win, is a good win. They didn't pound. I mean, USC has two, no doubt, NFL receivers on that team. That offense is lights out. Now, Illinois also beat them, so take that for what it's worth. Pitt is always a pain in the ass. Like Narduzzi, just that team's always a challenge. But yeah, none of their wins were of the same caliber of an Alabama and Miami. It's when they lost their games, because this is the other thing that pollsters do, and the committee gets influenced by pollsters and vice versa. Miami loses their games further along in the season while Notre Dame keeps winning. So what happens is voters start to flip them, because one team keeps ascending just by virtue of beating teams. Doesn't matter whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. You just win and you keep moving up. So the committee buys into that narrative, puts this show on because it's part of their contract with ESPN, having exclusive rights to the college football playoff. It brings in money like it does. I don't watch a minute of that show, because every one of those shows is completely meaningless. There is a GIF out there of Michael Che that says, "Forget everything you just saw." That is the GIF that you should just play every Tuesday, because it doesn't matter. And the committee shouldn't have that on them to then have to answer for. But because we're doing the show and we have to show the show, Miami and Notre Dame get to like politic, and Notre Dame gets to end up being pissed off.
What would you rather have?
Would no you show. Rather have?
Well, let me give you the options. I get that.
No show.
But would you? Okay, show's gone. Would you rather there not be any college football playoff rankings until Selection Sunday?
You'd rather not have an explanation.
Or would you rather the AP 25 go away, and we just have the college football 12?
Well, I don't really care for the rankings. Honestly, I think rankings are stupid. I think they're fun for shows like us, right? Like it's fun for us to be able to talk through, and it does give you a metric and an idea of kind of quote unquote who's good or who's bad. I think the college football rankings is dumb. I just think it is, because of what it sets up for here. Cause like NCAA basketball, the NCAA basketball tournament, like there's so many teams that everybody on the top 25 is going to get in anyway, but you know, you don't have a weekly NCAA show for the last 5 weeks of the season talking about team number 65, 66, 67, 68. We just don't have that. And so when the committee comes out and they put these things out there and they're like, well, what happened that kept this team from getting in over this one? They at least, whether it's good logic or bad logic, they at least don't have something else that people can point to be like, well, you all said this and then you changed your mind. What magically happened to make you change your mind? And then it forces, it just is cleaner for the committee. And if there is no college football playoff show, there's still a debate about Miami and Notre Dame, But from a committee standpoint, when the chair's there, you don't have to tap dance around in circles while Joey Galloway, you know, pushes you to be like, explain your backwards logic, because the logic is backwards with those shows and those rankings.
Tony, before you, I know you're about to say something. Well, y'all are way more tapped into this than me. Was Miami ranked above Notre Dame, or was Notre Dame ranked above Miami in the 25 too?
I think they were. So
everybody got it wrong.
Right. Well, everybody, it's again, yes.
The perspective of how the season played out.
One of my favorite podcasts when it comes to sports, college football, is the Cover 3 podcast. It's the CBS podcast. And they, every Saturday night, after most of the games are over, they do a live reaction show. And then Chip Patterson, who's one of the hosts on the show, he does a projection of next week's top 25 today. He's not an AP voter, or he might be an AP voter, I don't remember, but like he doesn't disclose a ballot, but he predicts what the voters will do. And it's all based on trends in history. And this is the thing that I was saying, the Notre Dame example, because Notre Dame just kept winning and just kept winning and winning and winning after they had their two losses, they got rewarded for lesser wins because Miami lost their two games at different points in the season. And sure. So the instant logic that goes in with a lot of those voters is, well, team lost, have to drop them.
It's always been said, even in the NCAA basketball parlance, it's better to get your losses out at the beginning of the season.
Right.
But, and again, I'm not disagreeing with you. It's silly when you look at, like,
one team is better. Yeah.
Yeah. The hole in the quality of the schedule should matter. Now, I also think that AP voters and coaches don't have time when you're looking at those polls. Like, who has time to go through and rank, especially if you're a college football coach, like, or a beat writer?
Their assistants do it.
Right. But even an assistant, but like a beat writer, for example, a beat writer for the local Idahoan newspaper who gets the AP vote out of that state, like, they're not paying attention. They're not. And people are human. And so it's not a priority. But we, as fans and the media in general, it's hilarious. You'll hear the media on one side be like, this isn't a reliable poll to talk about, but pay attention to this poll that we all do. It's
but
backwards.
It's important, though, yeah.
Can I go, please?
No, you can go.
let me connect the dots, reveal the actual reality, and put it all together with a nice bow. Because here it is. While everything you said is right, it's all bullshit at the time leading into it. They're trying to make money. It's all part of making money. And that's bottom line, right? And us having this conversation is a great part of it. It just fuels the fire, and that'll never go away as long as it's about money. I wish it was about the integrity and we didn't have to listen to that, or they could just get it right the whole time. I completely agree with you, Patrick. The thing about it is, though, at least they got it right. I think we all think they got it right. According to their standards that they put out there, I think they got it right. Now, what message did they send? I think the most important message, and I've been just dying to say this. Hey, Notre Dame, join a conference. You could have won the ACC. Join a conference. Any conference will give you a higher cut than any other team, unless it's the Big Ten or the SEC, to join their conference. Maybe, you know, join a conference, right?
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
And we're love that sweet, sweet NBC money.
But that's the thing. Patrick. We're in a different world now. When that y'all were the only place on the hill that could get cash. Sure, we're in 2025, 26. Money coming from everywhere. We got streaming services giving people money. Join a conference and get that cash.
Well, but right now they have their cake and they eat it too.
They're going to bring cash to the conference. Yeah, that's the problem.
Right.
Right, because they're ACC every other sport except for football.
Because if I could tell you how desperate the Big Ten has been for a long time to try and get Notre Dame.
Before Penn State.
Before the Pac-8.
Those Catholics, that Catholic money, almost as good as that sweet, sweet Mormon money, Crumble Cookies, buying coaches, for those of you who don't
Crumble
know.
Crumble is a Mormon company?
Yeah. Crumble Cookie owned by a big time BYU donor, and he was instrumental in preserving.
Steve Young owns Crumble?
No. BYU, but he was a big donor who was instrumental in keeping BYU's head coach from jumping ship to Penn State. Do briefly want to talk about the group of five piece. So JMU gets in as one of the top five conference champions based on ranking. Exciting for JMU. Congratulations. You get to go to Autzen Stadium
and
enjoy that experience because Autzen is a cool place. Make sure you take some pictures. If you've ever seen the movie The Replacements, pull a Clifford Franklin and just be like, hey, man, after the game, can I get your autograph? Can I get a picture with you? Because I don't like your chances. And then Ole Miss has already played Tulane this season. Again, congratulations, Tulane. You get to go back to Ole Miss, sans Lane Kiffin, but with Charlie Wise Jr. still calling that offense. Can you find a way to not lose by five touchdowns this time? Also fascinating to look at Oregon is playing this tournament. They will be losing their offensive and defensive coordinators at the end of this run, however it lands. JMU, head coach, taking a new job. Tulane, head coach, taking a new job. Ole Miss, already without their head coach. And that's just the nature of the beast, the nature of success. Ohio State, did Brian Hartline take a job?
Yes.
Yes. So Hartline is gone. It's a fascinating thing. Like, you're also going to see the coaching tree as it blossoms, the branches, because a lot of these guys are staying with their team until the playoff run is over. That's, except for Ole Miss, because that was just the ugliest divorce in history. But thoughts on the two group of five teams? And I guess the bigger question is, should there be a group of five representative in the college football playoff? Ray is saying yes. Tunney is struggling. So go first, Ray, and then we'll let Tunney push back.
So the very first thing we started talking about today, before we got into the nitty gritty of the variances of the teams and whatnot, is about conference championships. So to delineate from that, conferences have to matter. If the conferences don't matter, then we need to have a different conversation. So if a conference is supposed to matter, then yeah, the conference champion should have some form of reward for winning their conference and getting in to the tournament. Now, I'm fine with there being five because we have a power four and one of the rest. I'm cool with that. That makes the most sense. And I'm cool with the situation in a year where if one of the four conferences is so ass bad, then maybe we put a JMU.
Oh, excuse me.
Exactly. I didn't want to say it out loud. But yes, the ACC, I'll let it talk about you.
Well, and that's an interconference thing real quick that they could change and say, you know what, we're going to take the top two college football playoff ranked teams in our conference championship. If there's a tie, you would take could have been Miami in that game. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah, no, you're right. They can make that a rule. It's already a unwritten rule now, but they can make it official. But if the conferences are going to matter, then you gotta reward the champions. JMU and Tulane were the highest ranked. So I'm fine with it completely. Unfortunately, we've seen when these guys get into they play these big boys, they get punched in the mouth. There are not many Boise States. It's just not.
No. And I don't know if either of these teams, I don't think either of these teams have the ability to even scare the other team necessarily. Maybe.
JMU will be more competitive than Tulane. Tulane will be blown out, I think.
You think personally. So?
I don't think they're a good team.
I think they
were in a bad conference.
I think Oregon, the thing about Oregon is Oregon's healthy now. And part of the reason why Oregon has been less impressive this year is because they have had receiver after receiver go down with injuries. Some of those guys are coming back. What do we think of the top four seeds? Oh, Tony, you never got to respond. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, what do you do next year? Do we just get the next four teams in? Do we not keep? So, you know, it's just where does it draw the line? So now they're the 14th, and next year they get to play Ohio State and Indiana. Like,
maybe.
I mean,
here's the thing. It'll be interesting to see what happens in January.
There's 136 teams in FBS. If you divide that by eight, that would be 817 team conferences.
Tony really wants the regional conference to happen.
It's the only way you fix this. It's the only way you make it fair for every conference and every school, because the money will start to disperse, but it's all in the wrong places already, so it'll never go anywhere.
It won't.
You could also end up with relegation with FCS schools. Like, if you finish at the bottom of your conference, you get booted. Oh, it'd be so great.
It won't be fair only because you can still stack the conference.
Very European. Doesn't
matter how many numbers there are.
Very European of me.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, much to your disappointment, I think we are far more likely to have a super conference composed of kind of the biggest and brightest of college football, kind of quote-unquote, out of the Big Ten, the SEC, and then whoever they want out of the rest of those groups.
To that point, I'm fine with four super conferences like they have. Just make them all the same amount of teams, and then have the other ones. But you got to have equal amount of teams.
The problem is that we keep ignoring the big factor in all of this, and that, you know, you talked about money, Ray. Yeah. There are two conferences that run college football. Period. It is the Big Ten and the SEC. They run college football. We can sit there and we can talk about this would be ideal and this won't, but unless the commissioners decide that that's what will be best for their conference, they're just not going to do it. And in fact, they're going to take their ball and go home.
No other conference got more than one team.
Right. Right. And I will say the Big Ten, like they're lucky they got their three. There was a time when Oregon was a little in doubt when they were kind of struggling. Again, they were down players. And getting Kenyon Sadiq back was a massive upgrade on that team. And I think that we're gonna see that. We're gonna learn his name. I can't wait. I think that them and Texas Tech is gonna be a really fun football game to watch.
For the record, I think Texas and Vanderbilt are both better than Miami. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So does the tournament. So does the people. Yeah.
So those two, BYU and Notre Dame probably would have been your next four in if you were a 16 team tournament.
BYU was likely the first team out. I think Texas is
no. It's Notre Dame, BYU, Texas, Vandy.
Oh, yeah. I think Texas catches a break in a way. I think Texas has a championship level defense and is a year away on their offensive side of the ball. I think too much was put on Arch Manning a little bit too early this year. I think he will be an amazing quarterback next year. I think Texas is ready for a bounce back next year.
Oh, he's coming back. He's a junior.
Oh yeah, he's not going. He's not leaving. He's going to be there all four years, in my opinion.
Here's the thing that scares the shit out of me with Ohio State. Jeremiah Smith can't play pro football next year.
Yeah, dog. That boy, that is crazy.
That
man.
Is the best player in college football, and he cannot go to the pros because of the stupid rule. He is a pro football player playing a child's game right now at times, and you watch the things he does. I loved that Indiana-Ohio State game, and it didn't have a lot of points, but Indiana really did lay it all out there to get that W.
If you was his uncle or his cousin or a homeboy, would you, or like someone that he looked up to for advice, would you tell him to go back next year or to sit out and like get one of these deals with one of these Nike or something and just work out all year? Like Marvin Harrison did, because the possibility he could get hurt to ruin his draft chance is fairly high.
Right.
Because he's number one pick. Like, unless there's a quarterback that comes out of nowhere, he's number one pick worthy next year.
So, as it is, there's a couple. Like, everybody knows that Jeremiah Smith will be the number one pick in the NFL draft, I think, pretty conclusively, unless a quarterback just does something ridiculous. But we'll have to wait and see. Okay, you're looking at this bracket. We've got all in front of us now. Way too early, but yet not too early. Who do you see in the championship game? And who do you see winning it all? PC Tunney, I'm going to have you go first.
Boy, oh boy. I mean, if you start at the top of the bracket, you obviously are going to take Oregon and Ole Miss and move them forward. Alabama and Oklahoma is going to be a fun game. I like A&M over Miami. I think you got Ohio State in the semifinal. You got Georgia in the semifinal. Indiana's definitely in the semifinal over Bama or Oklahoma, in my opinion. Oregon could take care of Texas Tech, maybe, but I think Indiana's in your final either way. I think Indiana showed how super fucking tough they are. Give me Georgia and Indiana in the championship, and let's what the hell? Hoosiers, take it all.
Great catch.
I was going to say the same thing, but just to be different. Fuck it. Rematch. Third time. Indiana, Ohio State.
Second time. They didn't play this year.
I thought, let's do a rematch. Let's do it.
So,
I would say Georgia just because I think they're probably the most underrated team in the conference in the playoff, but I want to be different.
I agree with you, Ray, in that I think it is going to be a rematch between Indiana and Ohio State, but I think that Ohio State will get the national championship victory and become the first repeat champion in the 12-team format because it's the second year.
And not win the Big Ten in either of those years.
Exactly.
Congratulations, Ryan Day.
Right. And Indiana is the best story in college football these last 2 years.
No
Kurt Cignetti. Here's the thing. Kalen DeBoer needs to thank the committee for putting Alabama in, because if Cignetti, who will be on the hot seat next year with a three loss Bama team, like they want, like Cignetti was a Saban guy. Like Cignetti coached under Saban at Bama. If that job opens up, they are going to make Cignetti say no.
Why are like the Titans trying to win right now? Does anybody know?
Because it is a different. We are not talking about that.
Sorry,
we are trying to grab.
They have one win.
The Four Quarters podcast. We have 11 minutes or so before we have to hang up this call. Thank you, teams. But anyway, my point is here. I think it's going to be an Indiana Ohio State rematch. I'm not trying to go chalk. Of all the teams I've watched, both of them feel like the two most complete teams in college football, both the offense and the defensive side of the ball. Indiana showed a lot from their defensive front and the way that they held up and were able to get pressure on Julian Sain. And I think that that's going to hold out. I think that the Ohio State receivers put out a better showing, and that Ohio State offensive line puts out a better showing to get the win over the Indiana Hoosiers in the national championship game.
Quick shout out though, I watched the entire Tech game yesterday. That's a scary team.
Oh, they are dynamic.
Yeah,
they're really, really good.
I think the top four teams are probably in the semifinal.
I would agree. Yeah.
Okay, who's pick a team that doesn't have a bye that you think it could win it all? Best chance to win it all.
Alabama. You know, if they're playing right, Oregon would be my number two. I'd flip flop that. Oregon. I would say Oregon because I think they're getting healthy at the right time. I don't buy Ole Miss at all. I think Texas A&M is a little bit of a paper tiger, and I don't believe in
Oregon. Got to play Tech.
They can't score.
I don't know.
They can't score.
They already beat Alabama once, right?
Yeah, because they got like 7 turnovers.
Well,
like they can't score.
Hey.
Anyway. Hey. We got to head out of here. That'll do it on our college football playoff preview. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Before we get out of here, PC Tunney, tell everybody where they can find you on the socials, and then upset Ray by telling him where you can find Ray on the socials.
Find Ray at It's Ray Cash. That's R-E-Y as Mysterio, C-A-S-H as in dollars. Find me at PC Tunny.
I'm deactivating today.
Find me at PC Tunny. And on at PC Tunny on X, somewhere on there, go and watch or listen to the interview we just did with Mark Mylitz on the premiere edition of Everyone Loves Pizza.
What flavor?
And you can...
Did he pick?
No, you said Everybody Loves Pizza. What flavor pizza?
Who, me?
I was trying to be a dick. Did you just ruined it for me? Go ahead, Patrick.
You can find me on the socials at Wrestling Realist. That is at WrestlingRealist. Catch me every Monday, Tuesday, and occasional Wednesday here on the Chair Shot Radio Network. Though this week it'll be Sunday, Monday, and Wednesday. Because we're going to drop the Four Corners podcast today on Sunday, December 7th. Like, we're getting it done. So thank you, everyone, for listening to us. We will be back next week at our usual time, probably breaking down bowl season, talk a little hockey. I know Dave's chomping at the bit to do a little hockey talk. Who knows? Maybe Giannis will put something interesting out for us to talk about in the NBA. He's a tweet and a half to follow. All of that is going to be some good stuff. But that's a next week problem, not a this week problem. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will catch you next week right here on the Four Corners Podcast, a part of the Chairshot Radio Network, here on thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.